Hello, everyone. My name is Steve Ray, and along with Barry Smith, it's December 10th, 2009, and this is the kickoff of the Ontology Summit, the 2010 version of the Ontology Summit, which is titled Creating the Ontologist of the Future. And I'd just like to welcome everyone here, and Basically, we have too many people to do any kind of introductions, I believe, but you can see each other's names primarily on the chat room to see who's there. I will invite Peter if he wants to revisit any logistics things, Peter Yin, before we get started in the actual technical session. Peter?
The only thing I would say is we will be going through the slides, and they're already posted up there. I'm opening up the slides called Zero Chair, and then after that, people could go into the slides as Steve introduces the other panelists.
Right. Okay. So, yes, that's, in fact, a good idea. If people could go ahead and pull up the slides marked in Zero Chair. And then Barry and I are going to introduce the whole topic and take you through today's event. If you look at the slide number two on that set, today is the official launch of what has always been a multi-month event, the Ontology Summit. Contrary to some people's first impressions, are not just a face-to-face conference, but they're actually a two-month dialogue of the ontology community, and culminating in a two-day face-to-face conference in Gaithersburg, Maryland, which is where we try and bring all the discussions to closure and issue a communique, which captures, if you like, the position of the community on a particular topic. And this month's topic then is, this year's topic rather, is the discussion of what educational curriculum might be appropriate for training the next generation of ontologists. And we have come up with a way to try and break down that question into a number of subtasks, which we're going to go through today. Thanks to various people who have stepped forward as champions or co-champions of this initial breakdown of tasks. So if you look at the next slide, I guess actually I've just done that. Let me take you to slide number four. And before we get into the details of what the breakdown of all those topics are, this has been a subject of near and dear to the heart of Barry Smith, my co-chair of this summit. And so I would like to invite Barry to sort of weigh in on kind of the context and the background of all of this. And then after that, we will proceed with brief introductions of each of the subtracts we've got for the summit. Barry, don't forget to unmute star three. We don't hear you yet, so maybe you. I hope you're not talking into a vacuum.
Steve, I believe it's your phone. You're putting a lot of static on. Maybe it's like paper shuffling on your desk or a bad connection.
I'm not shuffling paper, but I could certainly mute myself once Barry's on. Barry, I can't hear you. I know Barry was on earlier.
Please press star 3, Barry.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope he's not. Maybe he's not listening to it as he's talking. Well, let's see. Maybe he got cut off and he's trying to re-engage. So let me I'll invite Barry to come back again in a little bit then, because we seem to have lost the link with Barry. So maybe we'll move right into the various tracks and see where that goes. Basically, let me introduce those to you. if you go to my slide number 5, what you see is a concept map for the breakdown we've come up with in sort of setting up this project. And it basically is 3 ideas. One is actually putting together a curriculum.
Steve, you're coming through with a lot of static.
I am, huh?
Yes.
Well, let me try.
Whatever you were doing just now.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I mean, it's just the statics now. Now they're all gone.
The static is gone?
Right. It's more than static. It's like a bad connection on your microphone or something.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hate to slow things down. I could hang up and call in again, but sometimes voice over internet, it doesn't do a very good job. Is it really bad?
You're all clear now.
Oh, I am. Okay,
you are.
Let me keep it this way.
Yes, please.
It might have been the headset that I was using.
Oh, yeah, it's actually probably, it sounded like a bad connection of your headset.
Okay, could be. All right, I will pick it up with this way then. So we have basically 3 structures underneath the overall summit objective. There's what's called a curricular content track, which is basically...
Steve, we have problems again.
But whoever weighs in is going to have to start through to let us hear you. Anyone? I'm not hearing anything. Are you still there, Peter?
Yes. But I missed what you were saying just now.
This is Amanda. To me, you're fading in and out.
You're fading in and out?
Yes.
Hmm. Well,
good static.
All right. I'm going to try calling in on my cell phone. Maybe that'll help come in a little clearer. It'll take me just a minute or two here just to dial in again, and then I will...
He has his hands up.
With Barry.
He's up back more.
Yeah. Oh, Barry's on. Yes. Peter, can you handle that? I'll be calling in on the cell while... I imagine Barry's having trouble getting through or something.
Can you allow him? He's raising his hand.
Yeah.
Steve, please allow him. He's raising his hand on the chat board.
I see that. I would love to allow, but I'm plugged in on the cell phone. Hold on.
Right, so...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now, Barry. Great.
Okay, good. I apologize for whatever I did that was wrong, but you call on me when you need me.
Okay. Can anyone hear me? This is Steve calling in on cell phone.
You're loud and clear.
Okay, all right. I'll just stick with cell phone technology here. Okay, Barry, just a second. Why don't you go ahead, Barry, because I was starting to introduce the 3 tracks, and it might be better to have a little bit of the background context and history before we get into those details.
Good. So, very quickly, I've been proposing this topic for some time as a possible topic for the Ontology Summit, the main argument being very practical that as I, and I'm sure many other people, have experienced, there is a desperate shortage of people with ontology given the demand. And I think that there is a second reason why I've been very keen on the idea of focusing on how we might address this demand in a coherent way, which is that, as many people also will know, the ontology forums in which we participate give a very clear impression that ontology is being organized in the wrong sort of way. What I mean is that when we organize ontology forums, including ontolog forums on specific discussion topics, many of these forums are destroyed, in effect, by the fact that people join them who don't know anything about ontology. The idea is that people discover ontology, think that it's an exciting field to explore, but they decide that really ontology is part of semiotics, or that ontology is part of chaos theory, or that the correct tools for ontology have nothing to do with logic, but they can be substituted by Wittgensteinian language games or by some other irrelevant piece of quasi-philosophy. So my idea actually is to bring about a situation where only people with a certain baseline level of expertise will be allowed to join ontolog forums. And the question then is, how do we create this generally accepted baseline level of expertise? And that's what I hope will be at least one outcome of this summit process. So that's what I wanted to say.
So back to Steve. Steve, you have to do a star three again. I muted you because your phone is still generating static and covering over Barry's talk.
Sorry about that. Okay. Is it okay now?
It is. Great.
Okay. So I was just saying that's an interesting and controversial topic, which I'm sure we'll get a lot of discussion on as far as the bar above which people must pass to participate. But anyway, in the context of certainly our summit discussion, I think we are encouraging open access at this point for the actual debating of this topic. So with that, I want to move into the actual breakdown of how we structured the summit this year. And that's on my slide number 5 of the first set of slides, so chair 0 chair. We basically have 3 main tracks, one called curriculum or curricular content, one on quality assurance, and one on professional content. And I'd just like to interpret those for you just a bit. The curriculum has to do with, first of all, you'll see each of them has a subtrack, present and in the future. The present subtracts will basically do a scan, looking out for what's available in terms of training materials today, and the future is what should we have, and actually putting together and collecting them. Quality assurance addresses the issue of what kinds of quality metrics or certifications or whatever have existed in the, up to date, and again, what could or should happen in the future. Which is making reference to what Barry was just talking about. And on the professional context, that has more to do with requirements of what are the needs that are presently out there for ontologists. And Ralph and Amanda are going to be presenting that. And then a much more far-out looking sort of projection into the future, multiple decades perhaps, as to what our society's needs for ontologists down the road. So on slide number 6, you can see the names of the different track leaders. You'll notice each one is co-chaired by 2 people. Actually, one of them is 3. But so what we want to do today is basically just step you through these 6 presentations. We want them to all be brief. I would urge the presenters to try and keep it to like just 5 minutes. We just want to give people an idea of where you want to head and the approach you're taking. And since this is a community activity, obviously we want to invite everyone to chime in. What we expect to do is break these discussions into separate streams and email lists so that we can have, you know, a continuity of discussion, if you like, on each of those things. So that is kind of the overview of where we stand. So with that, I think what I'd like to do is start marching down through those tracks. And I know that a couple of people like Arturo, I know you sort of prepared a slide set which sort of combines your two roles in content and quality. But just for sake of structure here, maybe I'll refer back to you for the second time, and if you could kick it off perhaps on first your current addressing of the content track, and then I'll revisit with you after we hear from Leo and Michael on the future for the content. So if you all could actually download then the Sanchez Dolphin slide, I'll hand the podium over to Arturo. Invite you to press star 3.
Thank you, Steve. This is Arturo Sanchez, so I'd like to take the 5 minutes for my sales pitch. If you go to the very first slide, I'm going to talk about half of our track, which is ontological curricular content. If you go to the second slide, this is just a description of the two co-champions. I have the pleasure to be working with Anthony Galton from the University of Exeter. And then you can see there my name and my coordinates. I'm from the University of North Florida School of Computing. I just put one slide presenting both tracks at a glance. So on the left column, you see the first part, particular content, basically. And then we have, what we'd like to present to the community is the way that we have structured the discussion. We propose to structure the discussion by defining a mission and questions of substance to be addressed at the summit. So the mission of the curricular content presently would be to survey the existing provision of ontology education with regard to curricular content. And the questions, I'm not going to read them, but I can tell you that they refer to whether or not there are whole programs that are targeting ontology content, or if there are only courses, although not necessarily within a program, that target ontology concepts. And finally, the two other cases would be if there are like loose courses or small parts of courses that address this kind of content. And finally, whether or not there are curricular models or curricular guidelines like the ones put forward by ATN and IEEE. And essentially, if you go to slide number 4, which I will probably repeat again, what we are articulating here is what, if you want to contribute, these are the things that we are envisioning we will need from you to share with us your knowledge in curricular content presently, per knowledge area and by country and region, and also to contribute with questions that will be part of survey, of a survey or a set of surveys to gather more information about this, and just to let you know that Anthony and I will essentially concentrate on the area of computing in the U.S. and the U.S. and the U.K., but we all know that there are other disciplines that feed from this kind of knowledge, which is involved. That's pretty much what I have to say. Thank you. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Thanks, Arturo. That was very succinct. So that's the scan or the survey, if you like, on the curriculum content. And I'd like to invite Michael Gunninger to talk about what is being planned for constructing, if you like, the curriculum of the future.
Okay, thanks, Steve. These slides were prepared actually by Leo, who is unable to attend today. The focus of this part of the content track is to look, instead of focusing on what people are doing currently, to focus on what are the necessary skills and the necessary range of topics that an ontologist would need to have background in. Initially it's going to be just a set of topics, and we can later on discuss how these kinds of get packaged together. And we want to kind of focus on this more kind of breadth-first description of all the range of topics. And then I say organize them into some modules. So if we move to slide 3, I just want to focus on the substantive questions that Leo raised here. First of all, what are the content topics, in other words, knowledge and skills, competencies, that are really necessary for both training an ontologist and giving them the proper background? What does an ontologist need to learn? And what are some of the prerequisite orderings over these particular topics? What are the content topics that are necessary for an ontologist? And then what are some other ones that are optional depending on the stream? So various educational programs will often have streams that specialize in one way or another. So we'd want to identify what are the core competencies and then what are some specialization streams within ontology training. And then the last substantive question has to do with who do we see these future ontologists being? So what are the different kinds of positions that we would see? So this is a little oriented more towards the notion of streaming, specialization streaming. So would different sorts of applications of ontology and people's different roles in these different applications, would they require different skills or additional skills compared to the others? So if you move to slide four, it's also in terms of the packaging, we could kind of consider different ways of collecting topics together in terms of courses and programs. So we could envision perhaps a minor in ontological engineering from an undergraduate perspective. We could consider a master's degree either in preparation for a PhD or a master's degree in terms of a professional sort of degree at a graduate level. And then separately from this would be various kinds of professional courses, just giving people the basic background in ontologies and all the way up to more an advanced sort of professional course. So these would be typically on a shorter time horizon, whereas academic courses would be over a 13-week to multi-semester sort of program. On slide five, we just had a list. This is a straw man set of topics. This is it by no means the final and definitive set. As Steve mentioned, today is just the beginning of a 3-month process culminating in the face-to-face summit. So we are hoping to get these up on the wiki and have people add more topics, comment on these, perhaps suggest alternative modularizations. But the basic topics here we have are, say, some of the formal foundations of ontological engineering, competency in various knowledge representation languages for designing ontology. If we move to slide six, some more kind of broad life cycle questions with respect to ontological engineering. So underlying methodologies, applications, things like repositories. And then on slide seven, we have additional topics here related to ontological engineering, which is more from a kind of a software support tools perspective and ideas there, as you can see, I won't go into detail. And then finally on slide eight, we have here the semantic web. I would include this perhaps personally as a one particular application. And there would be, again, additional application domains, such as supply chain, manufacturing, interoperability perhaps could be one. Different kinds of information sciences, according to, say, library sciences, perhaps could be another kind of application. Biomedical applications would be another, perhaps, application stream. I guess semantic web would be one very common one, but that's kind of how I was seeing this. I wasn't exactly sure how Leo was seeing this, but that's my perspective. So that's what wraps up those slides. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Michael. And there have been some interesting questions popping up on the chat room, but we're going to hold off on discussing those orally until we get through these little introductions, but do take a look. So now, Arturo, I'll invite you back to talk about the next major thing that has to do with quality.
Steve, you're generating static again.
Well, can you understand what I'm saying?
Barely. The static is louder than you are.
I must be getting some huge source of static.
It sounds like a bad connection. of your microphone. I can't hear anyone.
Kindly unmute everybody so they can at least identify whether they can hear or not.
Yeah, all of a sudden everything cleared up, at least for me. Thank you, Robbie. Whatever you did, or whatever anybody else did.
Peter's back, but we just still don't have Arturo.
Yeah, everything's... Yeah, Arturo, could you restart this segment all over? If you're still around.
Otherwise, please redial. So maybe I'll send that message on the chat board.
Yes, somebody must be having really bad weather. I mean, it could be our conference bridge, for that matter.
Yeah. Wow. This is unfortunate.
Yeah. All right. Arturo says he will call again and suggest we move to another track.
Okay, well, we could, if anyone can hear me, we can try to see if Barry or, I guess, Barry, were you going to present the future sub-track on the quality track? And I can't hear Barry.
I was, yeah. Should I do that?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not sure how many of us are still on, but there seems to be at least a dozen of us or so.
Good. So I think that I can be rather brief also, because some of what I've prepared has been addressed already in previous tracks, which I think is a good thing. So the way in which we've conceived the future quality track is in terms of how we create a delivery system for trained ontologists in the future. I believe that this delivery system should be primarily university-based, but the way we're conceiving it is sufficiently flexible that we can envisage also training courses which would contribute to the delivery system also from outside universities. So the idea is that what we need in order to create trained ontologists is some sort of university and course accreditation system. The idea I have in mind is that universities with courses which they think are suitable for contributing to this system would submit themselves to some committee of people we agree are representative of the ontology world in the way that it should be conceived. And this committee would then accredit those universities or those courses, and we would organize different levels of modular training certifications of individual ontologists themselves, some of which I will describe briefly in the next couple of slides. These courses should be, we think, graduate level. This is because successful participation in the world of ontology presupposes already some basic domain knowledge of the sort which undergraduate education would provide, either in philosophy or in logic or in computer science or in some natural scientific domain such as biology, or conceivably also in one of the other domains which has been mentioned already. So we're assuming that all students will have the base level expertise, but that they will derive from multiple backgrounds. And so the training system that we have in mind would be modular. People who already have a good background in computer science could be selected to take alternate tracks in order to present computer science knowledge with the other kinds of knowledge which successful ontology requires. And then I'm just describing in the final two slides two possible scenarios. One is a short ontologist certification program lasting 10 days, perhaps spread over 5 weekends, either face-to-face or including some distance learning component. People who want to test out of a given module may in principle be allowed to do so, but there would be a certain threshold of face exposure. The problems here are going to be, on the one hand, problems of of accreditation of the teachers and the institutions, and on the other hand, determination of what the common body of accepted content should be to create the common baseline of expertise which we need in order to create the discipline of ontology as a serious discipline in which people can engage only if they've already demonstrated that they have certain sorts of competence. And then the final slide describes very briefly a master's level program, which would be a two-year coursework plus thesis structure. The courses that were compiled in this master's program could then be used for other one-year programs of various sorts, again, taking advantage of modularity and of alternate tracks for different kinds of expertise. And there might also be an industrial or a science application internship component. And the general background idea here is that we are beginning to become a real science. So we have journals, we have organizations, we have conferences, but what we don't yet have is the kind of established body of steadily accumulating knowledge which other serious sciences have. And in order to create this steadily accumulating body of knowledge, we need to create a system whereby things will become accredited and certified. And that's very difficult to do, and thus far we haven't been doing it because we've been far too tolerant of nonsense. And the goal is to become like every other scientific discipline, which is that we just don't listen to cranks who come in talking nonsense.
Okay. Well said. All right. Thanks, Barry. At this point, let's see if we can get Arturo. We're doing a little reverse order here, but if Arturo could give us a slice on how that sub-track approach, finding out what kinds of certifications or quality assurance already exist. And Arturo, give it a shot.
Can you hear me, Steve?
Yes, I can hear you. Hooray.
Okay, so let me try these again. So if you go back to my slides, and then you go to slide number 3, the title of the talk says Tracks at a Glance, and then you take a look at the column on the right, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the quality assurance in the presently track. So the mission of the track is to survey the existing forms of quality assurance, and in the context of the discussions that have taken place in the organizing committee for this summit, we have identified three examples of quality assurance: accreditation, certification, and licensure. And they are applied to programs, courses, and professionals. So questions of substance that we are proposing to address by the summit are: by what bodies, if any, are the programs identified as having substantial ontological content are currently accredited? So we have kind of an agreement that when we talk about accreditation, we refer to programs, and when we talk about certification, we refer to professionals, which is the second bullet. And the third bullet is whether or not there are other forms of quality assurance that currently exist that might be relevant to the track mission. And if you go again to my slide number 4, I again ask you if you want to participate in the quality assurance at the present by letting us know what accreditation or certification bodies or apply to your country, to your profession, that has to do with ontological content, and also to contribute with questions that will appear on surveys that will be sent to the community to answer. So that's pretty much the summary of that track. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Arturo. So basically what we've heard so far is the idea of actually having the community come together to prepare curriculum content based on collection of what is out there and invention of new material. We've heard now from the issue of how do we assure quality and possibly even, certification, accreditation, and even licensing of people. Again, looking at what's out there already and trying to construct or design new structures, new bodies perhaps that could handle that in the future. And so now we'll hear the third track, which has to do with more on the requirement side of things, of what do companies, what do businesses that are currently looking or using ontologies need in terms of the skills of ontologists. And with that, I'd like to introduce and invite Amanda Weidnum to give us a little pitch on that. And don't forget star 3.
Okay, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right, great. So, we've got a couple slides here. Ralph is, I don't know if he's on right now, but he's traveling today and could not make at least most of the call. The track, the mission of this track is to take a step back, in fact, to say, well, who are ontologists and what are they doing now? Before looking at the pertinent questions slide, I want to just take a minute to talk about this mission and how it fits in with the larger, with the summit broadly. There are, of course, training programs, and there are very particular opinions, such as Barry's and others, about what ontologists do or ought to do. And there is a high degree of relationship between what particular fields or particular institutions people work in and what they believe those skills to be. In addition, from the industry perspective, those who hire ontologists have a great deal of trouble finding them, and sometimes it's because they're not available, and sometimes it's because they can't figure out where to find them. But they also don't know how to match any particular ontologist with a particular ontology job. So this is also looking at getting a better understanding of what the sub-skills or sub-activities are within the field. So, that said, and actually one more thing, I think a fundamental motivation for it is to make sure that our discussions about the content and mechanisms of training and education are not based on our assumptions of what is needed now or in or what will be needed in the future, but are based on some actual information about those needs. So that said, on the next slide, the pertinent questions, things we'll be looking to get a better sense of, besides our impressions and hypotheses, in part by gathering information from the summit participants and further out from there. Peter will talk more about that later, or Elizabeth. Well, where do ontologists currently work? How many are in industry? How many are in academics? How many are consultants? How many are with corporations? What kinds of projects do they work on? Do they tend to be part of larger efforts in metadata, interoperability, information search and retrieval, knowledge management? Are they in IT departments? Which fields of industries use them? Military, biomedical, we have some obvious, you know, candidates, but there are more. If, you know, you want to find out and not assume. Importantly, what folks out there are doing, I say coursework here, I mean knowledge organization structure, for those that may be new to, that includes the SOHI taxonomies and so forth. What folks are doing that is actually the area is started in, perhaps taxonomy, SOHI, or something else, have been adding features and goals that are moving them into ontology, but may not even know it or have it labeled as such. Also in here, the folks actually know they're doing ontology, but their job titles and internal projects are not labeled that way, so it may not be visible on some surveys. What tasks do ontologists do? How much of the time do ontologists spend doing formal tasks, you know, in a corner by themselves with an ontology editor versus a knowledge application task, testing, requirements gathering, I think we probably will find to be shockingly rare. but I hope that I'm wrong about that. And how folks who are working now gotten those skills? I think we'll probably find a lot of home world on the job training, formal or informal, but let's find out. What background do they have academically, if any? What do people wish they had? What do they find lacking in their preparation? What do their employers wish they had? And finally, when the employers are looking to want to hire ontologists, what do they need? What do they expect? What do they want a certification program to tell them or to guarantee? So that's a sampling of pertinent questions. I'm sure we'll have more and focus some of these in various ways. I hope that the result of it will be a much better understanding than we currently have, a shared understanding of the breadth and diversity of people who are considered or consider themselves ontologists, and where, you know, if we want to draw lines around that, where we could reasonably do so, but at least mapping that terrain. That's all from me.
Okay. Thank you, Amanda. And there's all kinds of discussion going on in the chat room, as usual. So last but not least, then, we wanted to have a little bit of a look into the more distant future as to where things might be headed. And for that, I think, Peter, you're going to be presenting some thoughts. Is that correct?
Together with Elizabeth, if Elizabeth would unmute herself with a star tree.
Okay. I'll let you take the floor, both of you.
All right. We still can't hear you yet, Elizabeth.
Oh, yes, because I have my phone. Oh,
all right.
Now you
can. Yeah, yes, loud and clear.
Okay, I have muted.
So, our module, it's a spiritual study on ontologists. So, given the theme of this upcoming summit as being the one on creating the ontologist of the future, and whenever I see the word future, I think of a group of people that really have been studying the future for a long time. So I brought Elizabeth, who has been a long-time friend and colleague from the Millennium Project, to join us. Elizabeth has been trained as a computer scientist in first-year logic, but definitely not an ontologist. And her role here is to show us how to properly study the future and help sort of put things into perspective. So if people would go on to the second slide, the mission for our team, Elizabeth and myself, is to develop an outlook on the future of ontologists, and we will try to gain insight from the perspectives of the market, namely from potential employers of ontologists, from the perspectives of the educator who are providing those training and education, and from the perspective of the individuals, the real ontologists or the ontologists to be. I mean, people who are aspired to become one. I mean, whether taking a professional course or some of the other, I mean, a PhD program or whatever that some of the other panelists have been alluding to. So going on to slide number 3, we would hope to develop instruments to help us take a look at what is now, what is in 2.5 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. The key message here is that if we want to develop education and training strategies for the ontology professionals, let's say in the year 2020, we better do so by first trying to understand what it would be like for ontologists then. I remember when my kids went to college, I said, I mean, go take up something that would be useful in 15 or 20 years' time, because if you go into a major that is very popular today, chances are, and by the time you graduate or by the time you are mature enough as a professional, the needs are not there anymore. So same thing applies here, and that's how we're going to look at this. And on the next slide, I will sort of hand this over to Elizabeth, who are going to explain what kind of tools we might be using. So, Elizabeth?
Yes, what I was thinking about, mostly now after I heard the other speaker, was to combine the survey that Arturo and Amanda are looking at, which are going into details, and try to figure out mostly what is now, and based on that, then to look at and search for your collective view on the future of ontology in more general terms. Which are the potential long-term developments. And one tool that we would offer here is the future is the real-time Delphi. That is fun to use and is designed really just for experts. It's not opinion polling. And we hope that this will be complementary to the more detailed questionnaire that will look to specifics on quality certification and the curriculum and the discipline of ontology and competency. If you look at the very last slide, you see samples of the questionnaire that I put together, but this is really just a sample and a draft that I was thinking would be good for this purpose. Have a development, a statement about ontology that we want to look at how it will develop between now and 20 years from now. And the very first question is that ontology is taught at least at one department in most universities. Well, this is very, very generic because, as Peter mentioned, ontology is not my expertise, but I expect from you to come with the statement that would help you the most in this study. And then we can say, what's the probability that this will happen between 100%, obviously? And then if somebody puts 50%, that what do they mean by that? In what time? In 2.5 years or 5 years or 20 years? Or some might say never. And then which other institutions should look or take care that this is being implemented. Now, this can be either rating from 1 to 7, which institution is the most important, or from 1 to 100 on what's the probability. And it doesn't have to add up to 100. So it can be NGOs 100%, it can be government 100%, and at the same time some local governments or whatever. What such a questionnaire will feedback to the community is which are the trends. What is the view of experts, since you are the experts in the world, right, on ontology. What is the view of experts on how ontology and ontologists will develop? And the field itself will develop. And we will have questions on the three tracks that you mentioned, content and market and quality, to see more what are the potential developments in those areas. But as I said, the results of the questionnaire on the survey will be only as good as the statements that we have and as the interest of the group. And the group, those who participate don't have to answer all the questions. And they are encouraged to skip the questions where they don't have expertise. So we are looking really only for expertise. And for each cell, if you look, there is in red written, please explain your reasoning. Participants can choose to participate and explain their reasoning or not at all, to skip it. And what is interesting in this type of questionnaire is that it's real time. So the data is continuously updated and people can see the group response, can see the group's contribution in seasoning, and also can come back anytime they want to change, to edit their own responses. So it's not that one time you responded and this is it. They can change their mind, they can consult, they can argue as a kind of a wiki or so at some point in the reasoning question. Questions?
Okay.
The audience, are they ready to understand the value of ontology? I don't know if that was addressed to me.
Well, let's see. Before we just address this, let me touch on a couple of items with Steve, and then we'll open it up to the floor in general and have a sort of a general discussion. I just wanted to briefly mention the fact that what's going to happen now is we're going to have the 3 months of discussion. There's going to be a mailing list for each of the three main tracks, is my understanding. Peter can correct me if I'm getting this wrong. So that if anyone has thoughts, questions, ideas on either the state of the practice on any of the three tracks or suggestions on designing the future on any of the three tracks. We can do that in the context of these emailing lists. We're also going to have a series of panel presentations, the first one being in 1 week, which will be on the future, discussing the future needs. So there will be a regular opportunity for people to join into, again, these teleconference sessions just as we're having today. So that's the essence of the infrastructure. But again, I want to point out that our objective is, and in fact the satisfying aspect of these summits to me, is that at the end of 3 months, we actually do have a tangible position, a statement, which we deliver to the world in the form of a communique. And this time, I think we hope to have some concrete samples or straw men or materials as curriculum material, as certification guidelines, perhaps, those kinds of things which we want to offer up. So certainly it doesn't have to stop with the end of the summit in March 15th and 16th, but we want to see if we can actually put a stake in the ground and make a contribution in that way. So with that having been said, I think we can now open it up into a general discussion. I appreciate everyone being typing all their questions and comments on the chat room, because that allows us to keep it for archiving purposes. But now I would invite people to actually push the little hand button on the chat room. They can raise their hand and actually orally present their question, idea, comment, or whatever. And we have, I don't know, 45 minutes to try and we can discuss some of these things in real time. So no one is raising their hand yet. So whoever raises it first gets to speak first. I would encourage those who have written questions on the chat, go ahead and just talk us through whatever you have raised as a question. There have been quite a few. And first on the queue is Peter. So, Peter, take it away.
Okay, first of all, I encourage everyone who has something to say to at least press the button, the hand button now, so that they are queued up to speak. But one thing I would like to add is that collecting today's input, I mean, including those from the other track champions, Arturo, Anthony, Elizabeth, and myself will try to spend most of the next week and the rest of the organizing committee to spend most of the next week to try to get together the survey instruments and then present it to the rest of the group in our next telecon, which is a week from today. So on the 17th, if you look at my deck of slides, slide number 5, I've listed out the date, that the time is the same, and the name of our next session, which would be the first panel session, would be called Surveying the Landscape and the Possibilities. And we will try to at least throw out to the group, if we have the instruments totally tied down, we will start sort of the survey per se. If we haven't, at least then we would run the survey instrument by the whole group and fine-tune it. We don't know yet until then, but mark your calendars and come back next week. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Robbie, you have your hand up. You need to start three.
Yes, Steve, thank you. Just one overall comment. I request you all to kindly read my inputs on the chat board, and some of you are already replying, and I'm grateful for that. The general observation is that I think almost there would be a consensus that people object, that we need to concentrate on current state capture as well as what we think is the projected state of ontology, learning spaces like formal training, curricula,
vocational training, school training, and disciplinary or domain-based training. You need to put this all together. If you can do it before the summit, it gives people a lot of material to chew on. And I would think that in the next 3 months, if we put some effort, as these presentations have already given us a direction, that would be great. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, just one comment. I mean, I'm just kidding. But we can't do it before the summit because the summit has already started. I'm just kidding. Because most people still think the summit is the 2 day face-to-face, which it isn't. The summit is the 3 months, which started like an hour ago.
Oh, okay. So, then my comment, Peter, would be that in this
summit, in the course of the summit, yes. In the course of the summit.
Thanks.
Spoken like a true ontologist, Peter. Okay. All right, next Brooks.
Thanks, Steve. My question was for Elizabeth, and I asked the question, don't we need to understand the marketplace and educating the marketplace about the potential value of ontologists? But that also begs the question of, we have to make this not only attractive for employers and for practical uses, but also we need to make it attractive for students because they have to see that there's a future there for them.
Elizabeth, would you like to... Go ahead.
No? Yes, absolutely. If we cannot show the students or the population in general, I mean the population interested in this, the audience for this, that there is a future out there for ontology and ontologists, then it's very difficult to prove and the usefulness of all the other hard work of developing the curriculum itself. And also we have to establish some standards. And which are those standards that will develop quality? Now for that also we have to look at the future. What is expected from ontologists and ontology, and why would the market be open and be interested in ontologists at all? And these are some of the issues that we would like to address in the future-oriented questionnaire. Exactly, to make it more appealing to those who, as Peter said about his kids, those who are thinking now about getting into college or having a career. Why would they want to have a career in ontology? Because there is a future in ontology. How can you prove that? Well, because a panel of experts judge and give the result that in this and this time frame, those developments are expected. Either teaching, either market, which don't... Now, this sounds very general at this point. We have to go into more details in order to really track down which are those that look more appealing. But that's exactly why we want this questionnaire and why we want to do this. Not just to assess what is now, but what is there as a potential development in the future that makes ontology interesting and develop into.
Thank you. This is Steve. So I think, this is not at all disconnected with some earlier conversations we've had as a community in terms of trying to find use cases and evidence that ontologies are useful, things like that, I think. So we can certainly draw upon that activity we've had in the past. Next up, Joel. Joel Natividad. Don't forget star 3.
Yes. I just wanted to reinforce what Rex said about, maybe the group can consider folding in, and I think that's what's being done also, but maybe I wouldn't call it the marketing track, but an advocacy or track, perhaps, or some activity towards that. So when you are advocating that you need ontologists, you have to explain to the man on the street, you know, why exactly do you need an oncologist? Being a practitioner, you know, we're working on several projects right now. And oftentimes my experience is when, you know, we partnered with a firm that has oncologists, and that's a very specialized skill, but oftentimes it's a big challenge, and they come at a premium when we try to justify why we need an oncologist for the project. So having some advocacy material would be good too, so, you know, when you do try to demonstrate that there is a need, why you need oncology, it would be nice. So we have maybe a resource that we can tap.
I would second that as well. I know that many times I try and go to bat to explain what it is oncology and oncological engineering is, and being met with glazed eyes or blank stares. So I agree. Joel Bender. I can't hear you, but...
Hi. I just want to... It's funny, this is a great tee-off point, but my comment was based on what Amanda had written in the chat room, that the... what's the relationship between the job labels of ontologist and knowledge engineer and ontological engineer? And I've sort of been around long enough to know that the distinctions between programmers, analysts, and systems programmers has been blurred and abused to the point where they're almost unrecognizable. And how do we keep the title of ontologist something that is... better than just resume fodder?
Good point. I think part of that we could get into the discussion on this quality assurance track. Obviously, if there's a need or a desire for certification and or licensing, that could perhaps help in that regard. Okay, Tracy, any comments?
Could you hear me?
Yep.
Are there any examples of real-world production applications that use ontology that new students or adherents would look at and say, yes, that has value, or any likely to come online?
I think that is the key question. Would anyone like to weigh in on that? Some our best examples of real ontologies in use in products or whatever. And the issue is, I think that it's hard to find, I think, clear ones where it's obvious you needed an ontology and it would have been horrible without, but that is exactly what we need to collect, I think, as these use cases as they mature. So you're right.
Can I have a go with this, Steve?
Yes, please do, Barry.
So one of the reasons why it's difficult to demonstrate that ontology brings useful value is that as soon as you introduce ontology technology into a domain, you transform the domain so that people can do new things which they couldn't do before, and so you can't compare like with like. Another reason is that ontology is a bit like railroad infrastructure or highway infrastructure. You can't have an experiment in which you say, what will it be like if we do the highway infrastructure properly here, but then don't do it at all there and compare the results. You won't be able to demonstrate the value of the highway infrastructure in any quantitative way, but everyone will see that the highway infrastructure was in fact a useful thing to have. Now, the reason why I say all of this is that in the world of biology, that is to say, in microarray research, where people examine genomic and genetic data about patients in order to determine what the biological causal mechanisms are giving rise to disease, the ontology technology has become a basic, well-accepted part of the infrastructure which everyone uses. every drug company has dozens of people who are using ontologies on a daily basis in order to understand how biological systems work and find ways of counteracting the ways in which those systems break. And there is huge documentation on this value and also a huge willingness to invest money in ontology resources, which is, I think, probably the best set of examples we have for making the case that ontology resources would be useful in other areas, too.
Okay. Amanda, were you responding to that or had no new question? You need to unmute yourself. Can't hear you yet, actually, Amanda. I do agree with Barry that I think biology area certainly has been one of the more mature usage areas of ontology.
Can you hear me now, Steve?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I did want to respond to the question as well. I part of my response I put in the chat, which is that I hope, in fact, that a side effect of the professional context survey might be that we get a better picture, in fact, of where ontology is being used. But another element I wanted to mention is that many of the, I think Barry is right about how the ontology becomes invisible, but when it's working well. But also there are two other challenges to getting examples, and this is a frequent question and a frequent silence. And that is, first, that many of the existing projects, at least that I know of, are either proprietary or sensitive. And so people are not, in those areas, are not always terribly willing to do more than say, yeah, we're using it. The other is that we have, and this is one of my motivations for being so interested in this theme, many examples of failed ontology projects that I have seen that fail because people hire people of the sort that were described earlier. Is where I agree very emphatically. There are plenty of people labeling themselves as ontologists who have no idea what they're doing. So, or others who think that they can take, database architects or object-oriented programmers or somebody and have them read a book and be able to do ontology. And projects will tank because of that. And the lesson learned often, the takeaway that the funders get may be that ontology isn't real. But it really can't do anything, unfortunately. That's by no means true. And actually, the ontolog, the archives of sessions, actually, if you skim that, I think you'll get some sense right there of projects that are ongoing. But I do think we have this larger challenge in answering the question.
You're here. Yeah. Okay, Robbie, do you have another comment?
I just, Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little quiet, but I can hear you.
The cross-disciplinary use of ontologies is, although I agree with Terry and Amanda, that there are success stories in some areas such as biology and medicine and STEAM, I still think that there's a lot of work to be done in reusing the knowledge components or understandings from those ontologies within their own related disciplines, for example, from bioinformatics to clinical practice, etc., and also in creating patterns that we can use in other areas of knowledge, learning, and domain. So I hope that this curriculum analysis that we are doing or the knowledge learning
analysis that we are doing will help us clarify the cross ontology correlations as well.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's true. Well, let's see. I don't see anyone else having up. So if anyone else does want to comment, please step up. But I would say that, again, let's try and keep our eye on the long range call, which is we want to see if we can contribute to the advancement of ontologies and ontologists. By putting this out there, this is our community contribution to try and get some of these thoughts compiled, some course material compiled. If we have people who are willing to contribute existing classes that they're teaching, I know a number of you on this call do teach classes in ontology and modeling. We could probably all benefit from that cross-fertilization. So, again, we don't need to beat this subject to death today. We've been at this for an hour and a half. So I'll invite Barry. You're the co-chair here with me. So would you like to make any other overall remarks? And then I'll pass it over to Peter, who I now see has his hand up.
So I would just like to thank Steve for chairing this meeting and for helping us drive this forward. And also thank Peter for making everything possible.
I'll second that. Thank you, Peter. Despite the little hiccup we had in our infrastructure here, I think it's not possible without all the work that goes on behind the scenes as well. Peter, any comments?
Oh, thank you, Stephen and Barry. The only comment is we have a few people who joined us today that are not already on our mailing list. As I promised in the announcement, we will subscribe everyone who joined us today to the Ontology Summit discussion list. So a prerequisite is that I need to have your email address at the least. Obviously, the rest of the community would appreciate knowing who you are as well. So if you send your if you didn't send an RSVP, or if you did send one with just your name without telling us who you are, I evidently would appreciate your letting me know, sending in a short note, and at least so that I can help create a namesake page on the wiki, so that when people look at your name, they could click through and see who you are, rather than you're just being johndoe@gmail.com, which tells us very little.
Right. And actually, while you were talking, Peter, you're reminding me that what I'd like people to be aware of is that the Ontology Summit itself is anxious to have anyone who would like to be listed or their organization listed as a sponsor. There are just a few little things down the road when we actually come to the face-to-face meeting. Sponsors are welcome. They get a little publicity. We could use organizations who want to help underwrite perhaps the cost of refreshments during the meeting, things like that. So you can get as involved as you like in this process and just get in touch with me or Peter on different levels. We have people who would like to, we have advisors on the communique. Check out the wiki page and you can browse around how it's been working in years past as well. But we'd like to encourage anyone who would like to get involved to whatever extent they can to do so. So, again, with that then, I think, almost made it there. We've got one person with their hand up. Matthew, go ahead. And do star 3. Might have heard something there.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear someone.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, this is Matthew. I'm sorry, I arrived a little bit late to the call, but I seem to be able to telnet into your VNC session, so I don't see a firewall problem, but I don't see a way to get it up. Is this the plan for future meetings to always have the VNC software?
Let me answer that. Normally, we would run VNC, but the VNC server does not support a huge number of attendees. So on a day like today with, I guess, a lot of people and maybe bad weather somewhere, I mean, we hardly ever had bad phone connections like today's, it might fail. That's why the backup plan, which was what we use today, is that all the slides are downloadable, and supposedly if our panelists sort of go by the books, they would have numbered all the slides and they would have prompted everyone to advance their slides. So you actually don't need VNC access to participate. It's helpful, but it's not necessary. And VNC traditionally have serious problem with corporate firewalls anyway, so don't count.
And Alex does a great job of also putting audio recording of each session. If you miss a meeting and want to revisit something, it's a great resource to be able to go back and download the slides, download the audio. I've done it myself on flights at times, and virtually attended a meeting after the fact by just listening to the slides. So you can do asynchronous participation as well as synchronous. So hopefully that will meet your needs. Okay, I don't want to drag this out any longer. I think we've introduced the topic. I don't want people to think anything's over. We're just starting. So please engage, and we will be coming out with announcements in the coming week about setting up the mailing list on the focus topic. There is also the overall mailing list we have. What's it called again, Peter? It's the Ontology Summit.
Right, Ontology Summit. Yes, if you're on today's session page, that link is all over the place.
Right. So you can chime in that way. It's all archived. You can visit past discussions. And I'm hoping we get good active involvement, and we can start actually working on building these solutions, the curriculum, the quality control, and a better picture of the future needs. So with that, I think I will call this session to a close and hope to be hearing from a lot of you in the coming weeks. And thank you all for attending.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.